for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. This is the 2010 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Wednesday afternoon, ladies, 1:15 p.m. Deliverance and Teaching Meeting. Louise Pemble is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on sexual sins.
All righty. Well, those of you that have not had the treat of hearing Sister Louise, Louise Pemble will do the 1:15 meeting today on short notice, which I am very grateful for. But it turned out okay, didn't it? Because she felt like she was going to have a service anyway. So Sister Louise Pemble from El Dorado, Arkansas, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, and our dear friend, the sweetest lady you'll ever know. And that's the truth.
So, Lord, we just thank you that you say, be instant in seasoning out, and open your mouth, and I'll fill it. So, Lord, we just ask that you fill my mouth with what you'd want each one to know and take and receive and help somebody else with. So, thank you, Jesus. I don't know exactly how to get into this, but the other day, Ada and I were talking, and I said, we really need to get this teaching, some of them to teach this, get it on a CD, because there's so many girls and ladies under attack, and they each one think they're the only one. And I didn't know that I was going to be doing it, but when Patty asked me, you know, I knew this is what we would do. So, when I was growing up in high school, you couldn't have told me I'd have stood up here, because we had to write an essay in high school now. And the one I wrote, the teacher was very enthusiastic about. She didn't believe I wrote it even. You know, she was so enthusiastic. And she was going to have me to read it before the class the next day. And I wouldn't go to school. I could not have stood up before that class, you know, for that. And my mother, you didn't cross my mother, because she had a little peach tree, you know, switch. And it would cut the blood out of your leg. But I was grown then, and she tried to make me go to school, and I wouldn't go. You know, I never crossed her before like that. But I couldn't go and read before all those people, just kids like me. Well, anyway, then later on, when I began to teach and all in the church, you know, I'm a different generation from most of you here. I'm a lot older, because I was 81 the other day. Okay, but now, when I was growing up, there's certain subjects that were never discussed by anybody that I knew. And I was not raised Christian, but there was a morality in our country where certain subjects were not discussed, especially not in public, you know, like this. So this, I'm glad we're not on the internet today, but I do think this needs to be out on a CD. Because there's too many women that are... Did you ever get something that made you feel ashamed, made you feel dirty? It wasn't even your fault. I think we probably all have, you know, experienced something like this. And when you do, you think you're the only one. Well, we're not. Others are going through things. So most of what I have to do today will come out of this little book. It's back there on that side of the rack, down on the bottom. There's a few of them back there, if any of you want one. And if you don't know what it is, we're going to mostly read out of this. But the first experience I had with this was my neighbor, who was like my spiritual daughter. She was older than me in years, but she was younger in the spirit. And she called me up, and she was terrified. And she came down to the house, and she said, y'all have got to come pray over my house. There was demons in my house. And she said, they tried to get in bed with her. And she said there was three of them, and she described them. And so some of us got together and went down to pray over her house. Well, we wound up in the bedroom where she slept, all of us at the same time, the three of us, whoever it was. And on her dresser, in her bedroom, she had a little doll about this high. It was a little corn husk doll her grandchildren had made years before. Just a little memo from her grandchildren. And that's where this demon had a nest, these things did. And so she took it out in the backyard and tried to burn it. And she had a terrible time getting that old, dry thing to burn. They don't want to leave where they got a home. But they did. And she got free of that. Now, she came from her grandparents or great-grandparents came from one of the northern European countries. And they brought with them a lot of the superstitions and the witchcraft things that they thought was normal. So a lot of this she had in her life. And when she first got born again and spirit-filled, she didn't see anything wrong with it. But one by one, the Lord began to weed out things. And I think a lot of times, when he says it in this book, this occult things will open you up to some of these spirits like that. And so anyway, that was my first experience with this type of demon, this sexual demon. And then later, there was she was like a spiritual daughter too, but she said there was one came out of her closet. And she described it as being a dark figure like a man and got in bed with her. And she was frightened. Well, we prayed. I thought she's getting rid of it. And then she began to tell how wonderful the experience was. So you'll encounter some of this. And if you wonder why I'm telling you these things today, it's because these things are so prevalent today. Like I'm saying, when I grew up, you never heard of anything like this. Never. But today, these demons have been unleashed, and this is what Brother Pittman talks a lot about, that in the end time, they're unleashed against God's people. So, this little book's by Frank Marzullo, who's going on to be with the Lord now, but he used to come here and teach. And I'm going to read you what he says about them, because I was wondering how to describe them, and here he does. But he says, well, I'll just read his preface. I found in my ministry as a traveling evangelist that many of God's people have secret sins. Sins that they have not revealed because of shame or embarrassment, such as having sex with spirits. And on their own, many of these saints cannot seem to get out of bondage to these spirits and are reluctant to share this problem with others. And for this, my feelings on it is, if you're going to share some of these personal things, share it with a woman. I believe if you share these type of things with me, and unless the Spirit has directly tells you to, that you're opening yourself up to the enemy's attack for you and whoever else too. So we'll hunt you a partner, a lady, if you're going to open up and share. So he said he's sharing some of his experience concerning people having sex with spirits, and the spirits of incubus and succubus. And as you read my account, you'll see if I've encountered these spirits in every country I've visited. So, see, it's not just here. This little book's written several years ago, but he says in every country he's visited, he's been aware of these attacking witty people. And he said, I pray to help you recognize your problem or your brother's problem and teach you how to conquer it. So, the reason that I thought this was to be shared today, to now, you know, this time, was because last Wednesday at our Bible study, we were reading Dr. Null's book on something, and we got into discussion on some of this for some reason, and every one of those ladies had been under attack and didn't think, they thought they were the only ones that ever had been, had never told anybody. See, in the end times, the devil is attacking the whole body of Christ, just about. But if it's not you, it's somebody you know. And the reason you may not know it is because they haven't told you. But they will. Because this is getting so widespread. Okay, he says, Leviticus 20, verse 6 says, and the person who turns after mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. That's what God said. And he says that these spirits come in the category of familiar spirits. And in this scripture, Father God declares how he feels about them. And any association with them is an abomination in his sight. And people often ask me, he said, what do you mean by incubus and succubus spirits? And that's why I wanted to read it out of the book, because he defines it real good. An incubus spirit is an evil spirit that takes on male form in order to have sex with women. And a succubus spirit is an evil spirit that takes on female form in order to have sex with men. And Webster's Dictionary also gives the same definition. And one of the speakers, maybe two of them, mentioned this spirit, but they didn't go into what it was. And I didn't know if y'all knew what they are or not. But it's good to know, because you're going to meet people who need to know. That's why we're here, to learn to help others. So they ask, how is it possible for spirits to have sex with humans? And the scripture said, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves and for all of all whom they chose. Genesis 6, 1 and 2. And that was the scripture I had for this. He has in here. And he said, the sons of God mentioned here are the same as the sons of God mentioned in Job. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And he said, I believe this reference to the sons of God refers to the fact that they were angels, since Satan was an angel. And we know that one third of the angels left with Satan, and the fallen angels. But according to Hebrews 1:14, they were created to be ministering spirits. And it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So God was displeased with them, okay? And he told Noah, said, I'm sorry, I just made them. Everything was evil. And I know several times during this meeting they said that we're living in the time of the days of Noah again. And God said he was displeased because everything was so evil. And we have to gather from these scriptures that any communication or association of any kind with familiar spirits is an abomination to the Lord our God. For our God is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. And in his book, he has a lot of little cases that he's been involved in. And one of them was, her name was Maria. And she said, I'm a virgin, how can this be? You know, that she'd been sexually attacked by a demon. How could it be? And this was in Mexico City, he said. And he mentioned anybody involved with these spirits he could see privately, so she was first in line. But he said standing behind her was a line of more than 40 men or women. You know, Spanish people are more emotional than us, to me. They're more open, you know. They just are. I don't know if it's the way they're raised different or what, but they're just more open, you know. So here are 40 of them standing in line. And I estimated that if there were that many people in line, there must be at least twice that number in that assembly of more than 3,000 who were too embarrassed to come. You know, be more too embarrassed to come. Several years ago, and I've told y'all before, I've not had experience with this demon. But I was having trouble with sexual thoughts. And they were terrible, because I don't think like that. So I knew they weren't my thoughts. And I would pray, and they would leave. And they came back. And I would pray, and they would leave, and they came back. And the third time I did, they came back. I called somebody, and she prayed, and they left. And I said, well, now, why didn't they leave when I prayed and they left when you prayed? She said, because you exposed them to the light. See, by telling somebody else what was going on brought light in the situation. And I didn't know this. Now, she's a lot younger than me in the spirit. But we have a lot to learn from the ones younger, because they have a lot more knowledge of the spiritual things going on in their generation than us who were sheltered like I was, see. So she understood, and it set me free in that. I didn't have that anymore. Well, anyway, he said, and this lady, he said, Maria said that she was being attacked almost nightly by an incubus spirit. In fact, she confessed that the previous night, the spirit tore her pajamas in the crotch to get at her. You think they can't do things? The first experience I had with my neighbor when she was telling me about it, I understood they could do things. You know, and I knew it was real in her life. And I knew it was real because I knew her, you know, that she was so terrified and all. And it was not an imagination. It was something that happened to her. And anyway, on this lady, he said, I discerned there was a circle of witchcraft spirits in her female organs that was inviting this spirit to have sex with her. And then he discovered all of her family was involved in witchcraft. And her mother, who was next in line, was also having similar problems. And when he called out lesbian spirits and spirits that wanted to have oral sex with men, the spirits caused Maria to yell at me with blazing eyes and claw-like hands, No, I will not come out. That's when Maria had said, How can this be? I'm a virgin. It's hard to distinguish sometimes between people and the spirits that, you know, are going on with them. Years ago in a deliverance service, several years ago, they called out, I don't think it was a spirit of whoredom, it was something meaning the same thing. And I got a deliverance. And I thought, well, how can this be? Because I hadn't been like that, you know. So I asked Dr. Noel out there in the dining room. And he said, no, you don't understand. He said, that is a spirit. Has it come down through your family line? Yeah, it was in my family, but it wasn't me. But it was a spirit. And it was attracting spirits of lust, you know. And I didn't understand all those times when different men had been attracted to me because I didn't think I did anything to attract them. And sure enough, I didn't, but that spirit did, you know. And I was so thankful for Lake Hamilton where you get rid of these things. Yeah. But, you know, I didn't know to ask for that. That was during mass deliverance. I didn't know I had that. So he didn't want to come out. And I told her that she had inherited many of these spirits and asked added to them when she went into witchcraft of her own free will and when I was ministering to her something like preventive medicine. And if she was not delivered of these spirits, eventually she would be involved in levianism, oral sex, and all kinds of depraved activities. And I commanded those witchcraft spirits to, in her reproductive organs, to unclasp their hands one with another through a word of knowledge that I knew they were holding each other's hands for strength, and to come up out of her body, into her throat, and out in the name of Jesus. And they came out, and she was free. So she came the next day and said she'd had a peaceful night's sleep for the first time since she could remember. So he said, thank you, Jesus, for the ministry of deliverance in your precious name. And then he had, talks about the first time he encountered one of these. Incubus spirit was in the Virgin Islands. A woman told me she had all the symptoms of being pregnant. That is, a feeling that a baby was in her womb with all kinds of movements. But the doctor said she wasn't pregnant. But he had read about this incubus spirit and never cast one out. So he says, I took the bull by the horns, and in the name of Jesus, I command the incubus spirit and the source of this spiritual pregnancy to leave. And then I told her to take a deep breath and cough it out. And out it came. And the woman was also very much involved in occultism. I believe that incubus and succubus go hand in hand with involvement in occultism. And Isaiah 26:18 says, we have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, as it were, brought forth wind. When a lady came up to the hospital when I was seeking the baptism in the Holy Ghost, needed some power to be a witness, okay? And she said, well, Louise, have you ever been involved in the occult? I said, no. It didn't sound like anything I'd be involved in. And then I asked her, well, what is the occult? You know, it sounds like something you know, but I didn't know it. I didn't realize I didn't know it. So, can y'all name out loud something that is occult? Ouija board. Yeah, I've done that. Horoscopes. I've done that. Seance. I've done that. Palm readers. Well, I went to a fortune teller. Yeah. Everything she called out, I had been involved in. See, sometimes we don't realize what things are that are not of God, you know. And some she didn't call out, I've been involved in. I've been involved in water witching, you know. So when you're praying for somebody to get rid of some of these, he says there's occult practices in back of them. And the ones that I had experience with, I told you about, there were with both of them. The other lady that thought that experience was wonderful had a collection, whole bunch of them in her bedroom, owl figures, little owl, big owls, great big picture of an owl, and there was a big owl stayed in the tree out in the back of her house. And this is something that draws these spirits. And sometimes we don't know what we have, like that little dog, you know, that draws these spirits. But, okay, and here was another. Dolores in Columbia, was in the prayer line of a meeting. He was in there, and she looked like she was 6 months pregnant, but she wasn't. And she confessed that she was deeply involved in witchcraft and spiritism. And she told me that the innkeeper spirit was so strong and bold that it even came into her bed and pushed her husband out of bed in order to have sex with her. Can y'all believe that? If you've had any experience with somebody that's been under these attacks, you would believe it. One of these that I was talking about, I think that's probably what happened to her, because her husband was such a good man, you know. And I'm sure he was there. Okay, there wasn't much time to have a lengthy conversation with her, as there were hundreds in the prayer line. But I told her there was something she could do about: confess Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit, read the Bible, and command that incubus out of in Jesus' name. And then there was another one here he had. This one's on page 9. And it's a counterfeit comforter. So Joyce's husband had died recently, and she was despondent and very lonely. And this first one I told you about, that's what was going on with her. Her husband had died, and she was lonely. And she experienced many times that she longed to see her husband and to hear his voice. And this friend thought she did hear his voice, and she thought that he was sending her notes. She was doing automatic writing. That's why I said in her background was so much occult stuff that she didn't know was harmful. And one night, she did hear his voice. And she said that she believed that her husband came to her and held her hand and said he was lonely too. And she felt comforted by this appearance. And my friend felt comforted by these things she thought was her spirit. I mean, her husband, and it wasn't. It was a familiar spirit. Another time, she said that he came into bed with her and held her close. And she was so comforted by these visits. And then the night came when he came and made love to her. And after that, he made love to her every night. And it was too much. Praise God, she was delivered from this incubus spirit masquerading as her husband. So how did he obtain entrance? It was by her words. I longed to see and hear from my husband. I got a friend right now, may not have to do with this spirit, but her son died young with heart failure. And she has pictures all around in her bedroom of him. This was over 10 years ago. She has pictures all over. It's like a shrine. It's like worship. And she is not free from a lot of things yet, but we think she's going to be free. But these things will attract the wrong spirits. So people who have lost their loved ones see, are often open to the deception of familiar spirits. And the evil spirit can come in the shape and with the voice of their dead mates to seemingly bring comfort, not only through demonic copulation, but through other overtures of false comfort. And for example, a familiar spirit might say, "Why don't you come and be with me? It's wonderful here. There's peace, and you can be with me. And all you have to do is take that whole bottle of pills, and then you and I can be happy together." Do y'all believe suicide is demonic? Yeah, I was delivered from a spirit of suicide, and I know it's demonic. I'd had it since I was a child and didn't know it was a demon until it was controlling me. You know, it was just putting all these suggestions all those years, okay? Then a spirit of suicide comes in. Many a lonely person has listened to the voice of a familiar spirit. And that's why it's important to belong to the family of God and know that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. These that I have described were really kindly lonely people because they were on the fringes of Christianity. They were in with both feet to fully follow Jesus. And we need to be, it says, when you forsake not assembling of yourselves together, it don't mean a great big group. It means two or three where Jesus is. It means where your mind is centered on Jesus. You know, not on everything else or what we're doing or whatever, but centered on Jesus. And know that Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. So stay in the family of God. There's some more here. There's one about a lady dancing and let me see. Oh, this voice came to her and told her, I'm Jesus, you know. And she believed it because it sounded good. And so she was doing what he said, and it led her into some bad stuff. And she says, just because a person hears a voice say, I'm Jesus, doesn't mean it really is Jesus. So John 1:4-1 says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. And she didn't test the spirits because she was a young Christian. She didn't know. And it says she should have shared her experience with a prayer partner or with her pastor. You know, that's what I'm saying. See, people, especially young Christians that come in, they don't know to tell these things of torment they're going through. They think they're the only one. It makes you feel bad. It makes you feel shame. And they think they're the only one, that, you know, so they won't tell. But when you get close to somebody and they begin to burden what's on their heart, you find out everybody's been through all kind of temptations, you know. And that's why we ask us to help each other. So he tells about here a physical hoax. He said a married couple came out, I can't see good, so I'm having trouble here. A married couple came one meeting night, and in the middle of our praise and worship, the woman slid off her chair onto the floor. And most of the group thought she was slain in the spirit, but the Holy Spirit led me to understand that the demons in her could not stand the praise and worship. So I whispered in her ear, I command you, demons, to be bound and powerless until this meeting is over. See, he went up and said it real quiet in her ear, and the thing was okay. He says, I whispered in her ear. And then I had her sit up, and we went on to the meeting. And as soon as the meeting came to a close, down she went again. And the spirits in her obeyed me to the letter. And after we dismissed, the others, my wife and I and the girl's husband, prayed for a couple of hours. We learned that this girl was having a love affair with a familiar spirit, an incubus spirit. And he goes on to say that she had never been able to have intercourse with her husband because her vagina was too small. And they'd even tried to correct it with surgery, and it didn't work. But she was enjoying the sex with this demon. And that's what was causing the problem. And she didn't realize that he had afflicted her with this condition so she'd not be able to have normal relations with her husband. Because that spirit wanted her for itself. So after she finally renounced it, we were able to command this incubus spirit and all other kindred spirits to leave her in the name of Jesus. And then we prayed for her to be healed of her physical impairment. And said, we stretch that organ in the name of Jesus. And we made a stretching motion in front of her body. And she told us that something stretched within her. And a week later, they returned, and they were having a normal marriage. And so that was it. And like Psalm 144:1 declares, he teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. And let's see, this was a different one. Yeah, this one Eve's talking about. That often keep a woman barren because they destroy her husband's seed in order to keep that part of her body for themselves. You know, a lot of times, do you ever hear people pray when people can't have babies and somebody will pray for them and they'll get pregnant? Could be this reason that was keeping them back. The spirits want their body for themselves. And I commanded these spirits who destroy the husband's seed to leave in the name of Jesus. So in the church in Connecticut, we ministered to a woman who actually had milk in her breast after intercourse with an incubus spirit. So he said, this is real. The devil and his agents are not make-believe. If people fool around with fire, they will get burned. And 1 Corinthians 6:15-16 says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. So whenever a person has intercourse with the Spirit, that person becomes one with the Spirit. Can you picture that? Becoming one with an evil spirit? You know, with an evil spirit? Well, what does an evil spirit look like? Y'all got any thoughts on that? Yeah. Husband, movie star, whoever would capture your attention. You know, the angels that came to Abraham came in the form of men, didn't they? Yeah. These spirits want a body with life. They want to control a body with life. They want to get in a body and have it do what they want it to do. And with these objects, a spirit can be in an object. You know, they can have a nest there. They can hide there and get out and do their stuff and come back. And for animals, I got a cat. I got two cats. And they can get in an animal. But you can look in their eyes and in a person's eyes too. And you won't see that person. You won't see that animal. You'll see a demon if they're under attack. Don't allow any in my house. So he asked them, whenever a person has intercourse with the Spirit, that person becomes one with the Spirit. What was the scripture that was used this week on being one spirit? Do y'all remember? I don't remember where I... Ma'am? Uh-huh. We're one with the Spirit, yeah, the harlot, yeah. But the one that I was thinking about, too, was the one that they read this morning, I think it was, that you're one spirit with the Lord. Yeah, one, okay, yeah. Good, okay, because I didn't know where it was. See, we are one spirit with the Lord. We don't want to bring in some of these others to get part of what belongs to Him. But just remember, if this is not anything that you have experienced, you will know somebody who has, because it is widespread. Because in the years ago, my neighbor, who was much more spiritual than me, and more knowledge and everything, you know, she saw on the hill half a mile from my house where she lived, a portal opened and the demons being released. See, in the end times, there are more vicious ones being released more and more, because this is the end time. The devil's making last-ditch stand. And at that same time, another friend, and they did not know each other. And I didn't know about the other friends till later when she told me, and then I knew they both saw the same thing. But this friend lived in Louisiana, and she saw the same thing at the same time in her vicinity. See, we're living in the time that people weren't, in my generation, when I was growing up, as far as I know, there wasn't even such a thing. I don't know, because I wasn't raised Christian, but... the morality was totally different in our nation. So anyway, we don't want to become one with that spirit. So the deliverance from bondage, he says, how can we disentangle ourselves from the web we spun for ourselves? And here are some steps. The first is repent. I'm going to go back and read them, but the first one's repent. Second's cover yourself with blood. And the third one's deliver yourself or have somebody help you. So the first one is repent. Ask God to forgive you of your involvement with evil spirits. See, I had been involved in so much of the occult stuff. I had to repent before I could even receive baptism in the Holy Ghost. I didn't even know I had been involved in anything that wasn't of God. See, I didn't really know Him. I was just born again. And then, cover yourself with the precious blood of Jesus. So, after we do repent, then we need to get under the blood for sure, don't we? And then deliver yourself or have someone else help you. These ladies that told me this, that I know of, that one, it may be the only one that never got free. I don't know now because I've been in contact with her for years. But she was not repentant. She was scared. But she didn't repent. So I don't know what's going on with her today because I don't have contact with her. But the rest of them, they repent. You know, they repent. They don't want any part of this. you know. So cover them with the blood, and then deliver yourself or have someone help you. And like you said, you know, when you expose it to the light, then you can get rid of them. And that's having somebody to help you. When you share it with somebody who can pray, who understands what's going on, can pray for you, and it can help you get rid of them things. So he says, repeat this spiritual warfare command. And so we can pray this prayer. He's got some good prayers in here. We can pray them together. Okay, in the name of Jesus, I command out of me every spirit of lust, fantasy lust, perversion, fornication, adultery, masturbation, oral sex, sodomy, incest, rape, homosexuality, lesbianism, and anal sex, sex with spirits, with incubus and succubus, pornography, lust of the eyes, prostitution, whoredom, abortion, and all unclean sexual spirits. Now take a deep breath and let the spirits out in Jesus' name. And he said, he tells people to start coughing. But he said, you may start coughing voluntarily at first, but you may end up coughing inadvertently. And usually I just yawn when spirits come out. But however, they won't. They're just supposed to get out. And he said, I believe that the majority of people involved with spirits of incubus and succubus are also involved in some form of occultism. Therefore, they should also seek deliverance from occult spirits. So, here's another prayer for this. Lord, I confess that I sought from Satan and his demons the help and knowledge that should only come from God. I confess this is sin. And if there's a one that the Holy Spirit brings to you that we didn't mention that you've been involved in, just tell the Lord, okay? And I also confess those sins I cannot now remember. Lord, I now turn away from these sins and ask you to forgive me. I renounce Satan and all his works. I hate him and his demons. I count them as my enemies. In the name of Jesus Christ, I close the door on all occult practices. I command all occult spirits to leave me in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. So take a deep breath and just let them out. Okay, here's another one. Holy Spirit, Spirit of the Living God, come into me and take the place of all these evil spirits that I commanded out of me. In Jesus' name. And he's got this last paragraph here, last page, which we went through early, but it's that some people refuse to face the possibility or even the sure knowledge that they are oppressed by a demon because they are embarrassed. In fact, demons will tell you that you should be embarrassed and humiliated. You ever hear one tell you that? They do. That's why it took 3 times before I called somebody for help. Well, I was ashamed to think thoughts like that, even if I knew they weren't my thoughts. See? If you're in need of deliverance, thereby securing their hidden practice in your life, presence in your life, especially incubus and succubus spirits. To those who know you, however, those demons may not be hidden at all. You ever see a demon in somebody and they're not aware of it? Uh-huh. You sure can. Sometimes. And sometimes the Lord will have you to wait. Sometimes he wants you to say something. Sometimes he wants you to pray. Sometimes he wants you to wait because he's doing something to get rid of them. While it may be embarrassing to admit that you foolishly walked barefoot across ground littered with tacks, nails, and thorny vines, you'd be even more foolish to allow tacks, nails, and thorns to remain embedded in your feet. And the wisest, most courageous choice would be to admit your need and yank out those evil, tormenting destroyers. And if you've tried to deliver yourself from a demon, but continue to have struggle against it, get someone who is knowledgeable to stand with you against that spirit. You don't have to put up with it. Allowing it to remain is no glory to you, no glory to your family, and certainly no glory to the Lord. Many of the topics and experiences may evoke a desire to know more that he's talking about here. And I have addressed many problems and questions in many of my books, and I especially urge you to read 8 Keys to Spiritual Physical Health and a Manual for a Deliverance Worker. But it was real funny. His brother is Carla's. Most of you know Carla. His brother Ernie is Carla's uncle. And one day they were back by the door praying, and I came out of the restroom. He was right there praying, and he was standing over there, you know, just looking while they were praying over somebody, a lady. And all of a sudden, he grabbed my arm and jerked me over here and put it down on her. He said, "I command you to come out of them dark places." That was so funny. It was kind of embarrassing, but it was funny. But he knew where they were and what was going on. Because he stood over there, and you could see he was talking to the Lord about this, you know. And so he knew what to pray, you know. But anyway, God means for us to be free. And I don't know how we got into discussing this last Wednesday, except that we were in reading some in Dr. Noel's book back there on rejection. And if I couldn't have but one book after all of these tables, I would get that book on rejection. It's back there by the checkout. Because that book, it helps me. It helps everybody every time we pick it up. It helps others. They pass it on. I mean, there's help in that book. And that, I don't know how we got in. This was not in that book, but he may have mentioned it. But I don't know how we got into this through that. But in this own rejection, the Holy Spirit stirs up all kinds of stuff in us where we need to be set free. So if you want one of these, it's back there on the thing. And that one on rejection, you know, really is good if you want to help somebody else. I think we are awake early. Y'all got something? Nothing? I know some of you do. Okay. How to do it yourself. She asked, when you go home, how do you do this self-deliverance yourself? Okay. Somebody got an answer. Okay. Did y'all all hear what she said? Good. Yes, call out whatever the Holy Spirit brings up and renounce it. And that's what he said here. Renounce it. It means repent of it. Say, "I don't want you. I will not have you. You don't belong to me. In the name of Jesus, repent of it." Or just deny it altogether. Until it has to go. Whatever spirit the Holy Spirit brings up, get rid of it, because we don't need them. Yeah. Let's see. I think she's got the owls. I think you want to tell her about the owls. She asked about an owl outside in the yard, okay? The owl itself is not evil. It just draws in spirits. They'll be drawn to it because it's a creature of the night. Yeah, when in doubt, get rid of it. When you are praying, pray, "Lord, if you didn't send that owl, remove it in the name of Jesus. If you didn't send it." On an owl outside, say, "Lord, if you didn't receive that, send that owl. If you didn't send that owl, remove it in the name of Jesus. You don't want it if it's not of him. If it's just a bird out there, you know, it's okay. But it may be a watcher. The demons watch us." Anybody else got it? You think it's really an angel? It's not. Most of those things are just little dolls. They're not angels. Yeah. I should have got the microphone around to y'all where we could get all this on the CD, but I can't hear you. Can you come up, please? I can't hear you. A long time ago when I was first spirit-filled, I saw Jesus in a dream and I didn't recognize him. Because I'd seen pictures of Jesus. You know, I didn't recognize him as being Jesus. But he was offering me something precious, real big, diamond-like, something precious. And I looked right straight into his eyes like I'm looking at you. And there was no condemnation in his eyes. If I took that, if I didn't. But what I saw was a man. Just an ordinary-looking man. I didn't know it was Jesus. And you're right. If we think he looks like a picture, you know, he looks like Jesus, whoever, you know, however he looks, but not a picture. Somebody else got some? I've heard it. I don't know about it, but I've heard it. Okay. Does anybody know why it doesn't have? I've heard that. I don't know why, you know. Does anyone know why it's not supposed to have anything to do with Israel? It's supposed to be an occult thing. See, we need to find out why, because if it is, we need to get rid of them. See? Oh. A lot of things. It was. If they're an idol, you can't. But if they're not an idol, you could. This lady I was talking about has her whole bedroom wall with her son that's deceased. And she thinks about him constantly. See, we just allowed to grieve 1 month, isn't it, according to Scripture? And she's grieving over 10 years. And it's robbing Jesus of the good thing he wants in her life. It is healthy. It is. This lady... her son died right after the Christmas season. So she feels like she can't enjoy the holidays, even with her children and great-grandchildren, because this was the time her mind is centered on grieving for him. Yeah, it robs the Lord. Yeah, it is healthy. Dee, the book you were talking about, Dee has here, and she's going to read this on hex signs.
Battling of Witchcraft and the Occult by Wynne Worley. It's under hex signs. The five-pointed star has been used by witches for centuries and called the pentacle or pentagram. With the two points up as in the eastern star, it is called the sign of the goat or Satan. One point up symbolizes witchcraft. When witches want to talk with demons, they will often stand within a pentagram and the demon will appear within a six-pointed star formed by two triangles or hexagrams. Commonly called the Star of David. The Mogen David, as it was called, was a Kabbalistic magic symbol for white magic, and the word hex comes from the hexagram.
Book again. It's called Battling of Witchcraft and the Occult by Wynne Worley.
Lady, okay. I don't know where it is in the Bible. Y'all may, but they were allowed to grieve 1 month. You get a concordance, you'll find it. It says that after 1 month, was it for Joseph or who? One of those. They grieved a month and then it was, a grieving is one thing and remembering is two different things, yeah.
Okay, you did?
Oh, Jacob, okay. Anybody don't have anything else? I would like to share one other thing, which nobody has ever come to conviction about when I've shared it, but I did. But right after I received the baptism in the Holy Ghost, my cousin, I was down visiting in Texas, and she said, I'm going to re-pierce my sister's ears. And want me to do yours? I thought, I'd always want to get mine done. So we sat on the keg out in the backyard, and she pierced my ears. And then I found out this is an abomination to God. And I was just heartbroken, you know. And then he made it all right with me. Where the love slave is taken by the ear and it all goes through the ear, and they're pinned to the wall. From then on, they are a love slave of their master. So he let me know I was forgiven because I was a love slave of Jesus. So I was forgiven. But several years later, after wearing my pretty earrings, here a deliverance worker came to the house, and he was teaching this is abomination to God. And so I asked him, I said, well, how come? Because the Lord let me know I'm forgiven. He says, yes, but if you have voluntarily cut your body, you remember the, was it Jezebel's priest and so forth? They were cutting their body and bleeding and trying to get the attention of their God when Isaiah was calling for rain there, water. That's an act of idol worship. And here, that gave the devil legal access, because I had a hole I made in my gears, you know. I thought, boy, I don't want that. So, I let them grow up, you know. And they got a little scarf, so I just wear clip earrings. And I think there's an article in the magazine this time, you know, about that from Irma a long time ago. But nobody else that I've shared it with ever come under conviction. It's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction. So just because that sin to me, you have to take it up with God for you. But anyway, I just want to share that too, because I had been asked about it recently. So Lord, we just thank you that you are God Almighty. We thank you, Lord, any information shared here today, Lord, by you will be useful to help set captives free. So Lord, just help us be aware of when you would use us for whatever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is the end of this message.